I'm a public health professional, get me out of here. And a special edition featuring our friend Tegan Keating. A few weeks ago, we found her Action Phase podcast and the fact she'd mentioned us on her excellent blog. So there was nothing else for it but to give her a call and share notes on podcasting, social media and public health. First things first, though, how did she get into podcasting?
Well, if I'm being totally honest, my now fiance is a podcast producer, and he was the one who suggested that I do this first. And then I took like 6 months to think about it and mull it over and decide if it was something that I actually wanted to do. And then he and I put together the first Philadelphia Podcast Festival.
Mm.
And when we were looking for podcasts to recruit in the area, I realized how few public health podcasts exist in general. And that kind of was a little bit upsetting. I was like, wow, we really should be doing more of this. And then I wrote this post, which you saw, where I looked for whatever public health podcasts I could find. And there were so few that were people creating content specifically for the podcast. It wasn't just organizations putting their grand rounds available online. So then I decided to start one myself.
It interests me about the fact that obviously we've got the National Health Service that was set up in 1948. It's a massive, great hierarchical institution with various parts to it. And I think it's really difficult for them to utilise a lot of new technology because they are such a large organisation. And when it comes to getting the message across, it kind of strikes me you have to go through so many barriers to actually get a message across that the thought of using something like podcasting effectively is pretty difficult. And it's kind of down to people like you and me, if you like, to start using this type of technology and try to get some of these larger organisations, particularly in this country, kind of interested in this as a media.
Yeah, I wonder, because when I think of the few podcasts that we have here that are not just CDC grand rounds type things, it's not coming from government. It's not coming from any of those agencies, because obviously our government is huge and it is not nimble. It does not do anything quickly, including all of the health organizations that are associated with the government. So I think that it is really individuals or small nonprofits that are doing anything that is like new media. Mm. I guess that's not necessarily true either, because CDC and NIH and those organizations they're on Twitter for sure.
Yeah.
But not podcasting.
You know, what's happening with podcasting, I think, is just on the launch pad here. In terms of people getting used to it and kind of drawing away from the traditional radio, TV type media that they've always been used to.
And it's good because anybody can do it and anybody can listen to it. So, I mean, of course, that opens up podcasts to all kinds of people who maybe we don't want their health messages getting out there to the masses. But it also means that anybody who has something constructive and scientifically backed to say can find an audience for themselves, which is really cool. And you don't have to go through all of those hoops and get all of this. You don't have to get authorization to make a podcast. You just decide one day to do it, and then you do.
Special edition of I'm a Public Health Professional featuring our friend and fellow podcaster Tegan Keating from Philadelphia. One thing that's interesting about social media in general is how you measure if it's making a difference.
What I think we need now is to be able to prove exactly what you just said, that you said something and then somebody else retweeted it and then 50,000 other people saw what you said. And that's huge for you as an individual, of course.
Mm.
but I was recently in a meeting where somebody was raising the question of how do we know that if we're using social media to spread certain types of messages, how do we know that it's the social media that's doing it?
Mm.
So I don't know if you've come across any sort of actual studies that have shown impact of social media on health behaviors or health outcomes. I haven't, but I also, to be honest, haven't done a ton of looking.
Yeah.
But we talk a lot about the power of social media in the field, but there's still a lot of people who need the evidence to feel like it's worth it to invest the time and the money in it. You want these issues to be so normalized that they are just something to talk about.
Yeah.
And I know that I've had some boring conversations with some of my friends about things that I've been learning or things that I've come across in doing the podcast. And it's always surprising to me. There's always a couple people who don't care. But then sometimes you can get just the right topic or just the right person, and you can really engage in a good, deep conversation with somebody who's not well-versed in public health, but they have a lot of thoughts or feelings about whatever the issue is. I guess that the format of my podcast is a little bit different because I'm an extremely nosy person, and I just like to know like what people do with themselves and their lives and why they do it. I've decided that a little bit, like a longer form that comes at public health from a personal level. So in talking to people about why they do what they do, why they love it, why it's important, what their personal connection to whatever it is that they do, what that is, that by reminding anybody who listens to it that like, oh yeah, there are actual people who are doing this work because they experienced something at some point in their life that made them realize that this was important to them.
You know, going back to what we talked about right at the beginning in terms of podcasting probably being radio, it's got a lot of links in terms of, you know, your more in-depth type of radio that you sit down and listen to, the little bit chunks that you have during the day which tells you what's going on, and it all forms a part. It's difficult, isn't it? Because everything comes under a podcast heading. And I suppose it's making it clear in terms of that podcast is what you're going to get.
Yeah, that is true. And I think that it's still a fairly niche market who's listening to podcasts. And I think that that's probably the next thing that needs to be addressed, is how do we make sure that a different group of people are listening to podcasts?
Yeah.
If we're really trying to make change with them, like through podcasts, then we need to make sure that we're reaching a wider audience than I think we probably are. I haven't seen any kind of statistics on podcast listeners to know who exactly is really listening to them.
Finally, what's Tegan got lined up for the Action Phase podcast in the coming months?
Let's see. I will be taught. Well, I've already recorded the interview, but I'm not sure when it will run with the regional director of the Center for Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
In our region, which is 7 states, and she is really great, really interesting. A major health reform deadline is happening March 31st, so they're scrambling to get everything done.
Right.
And then I am going to be talking with a pain doctor who is a major advocate for safe and sane painkiller prescribing and helping and working to reduce abuse of prescription painkillers.
Mm.
So I think those are the two...
Right.
Close. Yeah, I think those are, that's who's coming up. This was an excellent way to spend an afternoon.
It's been superb. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate it. This was fun, yeah. And we should absolutely do it again.
Yeah, we definitely will. My thanks to Tegan for such an enjoyable chat, and hopefully we'll keep in touch to share notes on how things are going. And of course, we wish her all the best in her finals, and don't forget to check out the Action Phase podcast. In fact, we even hope the Philadelphia Phillies have a good baseball season, except when they play the Toronto Blue Jays, of course. Well, that's it for this week, and after the Chancellor's budget speech, there's only really one way for us to go out. Are you ready, Stanley? Eyes down for a full house. Two Little Ducks, 22. David's Den, number 10. Top of the Shop, blind 90. See you next week.
Bingo, bingo, I'm in love. Kelly's eye, I'm her guy, and she's my number one. Number three, up a tree, she's got me on the run. Number five, man alive, by all the stars above.
Public health professional Get Me Out of Here is written, produced and presented by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and not connected to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorized reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.
11, lucky for some, proved to be a lucky day for me. Number 8, at the gate she said she'd marry me. Like two little ducks and a cock and hen, we coo like turtle doves. Bingo!